So again, Zohar for all, Vayakhel and Moses gathered, item 131, beginning with and once he was already. You can watch our broadcasts in the Cub TV website, and you can ask selected questions, and ask questions there, and selected questions will be aired live. And once he was already in the firmament of Hod of Asiya, he met there the Avir, heir of Netzach of Asiya, and clung to it. And when the 12-letter name operated and returned Malchut to her place, the Avir of Netzach rose above the firmament, raising Elijah with it too, who clung to it. Once he was already in the firmament of Netzach, he met there the Avir of Tiferet, and so on, until he rose with the Avir above the firmament of Tiferet of Asiya. Likewise, that Avir of each degree raised him to the degree above it, until the end of the degrees of Asiya, from there to Malchut of Yetzirah, and from there to all the degrees of Yetzirah and Bri'ah, until he rose to heaven, which is Zeranpin of Atzilut. Obadiah said to Elijah, "And the Spirit of the Lord will carry you, since the Spirit, Ruach, or wind of the Creator, is Bina and Tiferet and Tum of the upper one, which are called Ruach or Avir, air, which have fallen into the degree of the lower one. That Ruach, spirit or wind, actually carried him from the degree to degree through all the degrees within the degrees, from the bottom of Asiya through Atzilut. It was said that these appointees who stand in the air were appointed to the four directions of the world. To the east, an appointee was appointed, standing in the air on that side, and his name is Gzardia. There are appointees in each Avir, in the four directions of the world, in Chug Tum, in whose hands are the keys to evoke the 12-letter name, to act and lower the Malchut from Binah to her place. The Zohar does not count the four directions in order, but mixes the order because of its way to conceal the matters. However, the order of the four heirs is from below upwards, west, east, north, and south.
We need to understand that there isn't any confusion in these actions, just as in the second restriction, Tzimtzum Bet, there is a connection between Malchut and Bina, and it is clear to us that Malchut cannot be corrected. Malchut, which means Nehi deGalgalta. Rather, only by connecting them to Sag, which is Bina, and Sag with Ak, with Nehi deAk, together, may, in their joint work, be corrected, that Malchut, meaning Nehi deAk, shifts her desires, her wills to Sag, to Bina, and then Bina knows what is in Malchut, and then it is able to provide to Malchut according to the need and ability. Although all these things that Malchut needs, and then with this participants between Malchut and Bina, Malchut is included in Bina, wants to be corrected. Malchut passes on to Bina her qualities, her abilities, the order of division and so forth, and then Bina knows in what way she can take care of Malchut, and then this whole work is made between Bina and Malchut. The desires ascend from Malchut to Bina, help me, and Bina provides to Malchut the vessels, the help. And this is how it goes. This is the ascent and the descent. Therefore, the ascent of the prayer and the descent of the prayer. The answer is the descent from the upper to the lower. And this is everything between Bina and Malchut. There's nothing special about it. It's only that the Zohar interprets it in a way. Zohar itself talks about it in the form of angels which rise and descend, they fly, and so forth. Bala Sulam speaks of it in his interpretation of the Sulam, meaning the Kabbalist interpretation, in the way of the wisdom of Kabbalah, the qualities, the Sfirot, the Partsufim, and so forth. But the principle is very, very simple. It's the entrance of the quality of bestowal and the quality of reception, and how do they work together in a mutual way. And by this inclusion, which is made in the world and also in the neshama, so the world may influence on the neshama, the soul. Let's say, you know, in the world where we are, the order of Bina and Malchut begins to change in its influence on us, on the souls. And accordingly, I feel something wrong. Something's changed. It can be some explosion on the sun, or snow falling in the U.S., or a flood in Europe, and it could be differently, all kinds of things. Changes of Malchut and Bina in the inclusion of them, of the incorporation of them, themselves, in the general system and in our system, and they influence each other. Therefore, we say, if we want to correct the whole world, the powers in which we work, we can influence by correcting ourselves, that each time we'll keep the right balance, the optimal balance between the Bina and Malchut in us. Ideal means that any Malchut that is revealed, immediately upon these powers, we are able to mitigate with Bina in order to bestow. But this certainly is not simple. It's impossible immediately to do it. But nevertheless, the tendency towards this must be. In the meantime, humanity does not understand this. Why do I speak especially about this world? In order to explain that Zohar tells us the mechanics of the provision and the guidance, which we are also in it right now. All right? What?
What is the Bina and Malchut in us?
The power of reception and power of bestowal. Reshimot. You also have Reshimot Deit Labshut and Reshimot Deaviot. In the Reshimot, they're also the same. There are no more than two powers. Even in the Reshimot, Reshimot Deit Labshut are the power of bestowal, and Reshimot Deaviot, coarseness, are the power of bestowal, of reception, sorry, the will to receive that is revealed in yourself, that you need to implement, you need to place them correctly, the power of reception, the power of bestowal. How is it called? The number above and the fracture line and the number below, a fracture, yes, okay. So this is given. You have some special fracture each time and you must keep it, but it's not given, it's given as Reshimo, which is shattered in the wrong ratio between them. The wrong ratio is that if the power of bestowal is revealed, then you have the inclination to exploit it for the power of reception using Bina towards Malchut, in order for Malchut. Where do you use Bina at all? Only in the group, in the power of connections. So, if we come to a group, and we begin to use it, here, precisely, you begin to discover the evil inclination. Only there. In the ordinary life, we don't even speak about it. Only with respect to the connection, because this is the power of Bina. Yes.
So it's not quite clear what Bina is. Malchut, somehow we can still...
Bina is the power of bestowal, the power of connection, the power of giving. Elohim, God.
Where does that force come from?
We have it. We have it as a result from the shattering. By that I understand that I can exploit everybody. I can exploit you with this and him and that. And then another one with that. And I will govern. I will rule.
So it sounds like something bad. Oh, it's following the shattering, I'm telling you.
Certainly. It follows the Shvi'ah. The Reshimot are shattered.
But Bina is the force of bestowal, isn't it?
But what happened in the shattering of the vessels in the sin of the tree of knowledge? That the power of force of bestowal is under the control of the force of reception. It's not that Bina governs Malchut, rather Malchut governs Bina. Paro says, who is the Lord that I will hear his voice? Let him serve me. How does Haman say? Where is this little Mordechai? Let him serve me. I will rule. I am the king. This struggle goes on all the time between Bina and Malchut. This is in the unscrutinized states, uncorrected. And the whole correction is clarifying them and placing them in the right place.
So what does it mean that Malchut rose to Bina?
Malchut rose to Bina is Tzimtzum Bet, the second restriction. Malchut rising to Bina to receive, to be impressed of her, to receive powers of bestowal. But you are speaking of Parzufim, which are under the force of the Creator, which is Galgalta Absag, where the second restriction occurred. There, Malchut and Bina mixed up and scrutinized with which force, with what power you can use Malchut in order for Bina to govern Malchut. And they determined that up to some limit, it is possible. Where is this limit, border? It's called Tiferet in every Parzuf. This place is called Parsa, meaning in Gar, in the Rosh. There was a Rosh that weighed, considered how much can I bestow, and then in the goof, in the desire, it actualized this task as much as it is able to bestow in action. This is called Kelim de Chagat, Galgalta Ve'enayim, and decided also in the Rosh that in the rest of the vessels of Nehi de Guf, he's unable to do in action, to do anything in order to bestow. Therefore, he restricts these vessels, he doesn't use them. And this attitude to these desires of Nehi is called Tzimtzum Bet.
No. Well, when we come to the group and we want to connect, what are we working on?
It depends in what state you are. Are you in spirituality or still in corporeality? Ah, you mean when you come to the group, in the beginning?
No, when we're already in the group.
In the beginning, you're coming as to a kindergarten. You don't know what's going on. There's a tutor or kindergarten teacher, and she collects you together, and she says like this or like that. Then later on, you begin to learn as much as you're able to feel, to think, to consent, that you must engage in connection. Some more and some less. And it not necessarily says anything about you. Maybe one is rejected because he has a great desire, and it's very difficult to agree to that. And we think that these are the shapes of darkness. That some are willing to connect and some can't watch each other, can't even look at each other. So there are many discernments that we're unable. I'm speaking seriously. We're unable, according to the external shape, to distinguish between one person and another. Who's closer? Who's further away? Especially those who, it's not simple for them to connect, they have special souls, higher ones. It's not that we need to behave in such a way on purpose, meaning to oppose the connection. On the contrary, we have to break this opposition into everything we have. And thus, to advance, it's upon us to do the simple work. Read the Zohar and await the virtue, the remedy. Well,
so we are in beginning with however.
Ultimately, all the efforts, all the wisdom, everything that you want to happen in your mind and your desires, it all comes for these moments that you're sitting and listening and you want it to be. That you're in helplessness from yourselves and the people of Israel aside from the work, and you more or less know what you want, that will finally happen, this change in me, so I can come to connection, to love, bestowal, and I will want it, and I'll have this opportunity to be in it, and with this I will give contentment to the Creator and even not reveal Him to such an extent. If it's bestowal, must you see who you do to? This is the payment already, it's not bestowal. And so forth. But the scrutiny is more and more. The power of remedy. This is what you need, the Savior. So now it gives. Don't disturb.
However, the order of the four eras is from below upwards, west, east, north, and south, which are Malchut, Tiferet, including Nehi, Gvura, and Chesed. The appointees do not raise the prayer from Avir to Avir, and then from firmament to firmament, as it is seemingly arranged in the Zohar. Rather, the heirs raise the prayer to the firmaments, each Avir to its firmament. It was said that that appointee in whose hands are the keys of the Avir and all the other appointees rise with her through the firmament. And there he is given into the hands of another appointee to raise him up. In that way, first the prayer of the Avir rises to Malchut of Asiya, to Bina and Tum that fell from Malchut of Asiya into this world. She is like the prayer itself. And since this Avir is equal with the prayer, they clung to one another as a single degree.
That the desire of the lower and the desire of the above join together, the Avir with the prayer, meaning the desires in Malchut and the desires of Bina. What I want is exactly according to the desire of the upper. It's just that for him it's a desire for me, and I have the desire for him. Then you connect and the joint action begins.
And then the appointee, Zvuliel, who is there, evokes the 12-letter name, lowering the Malchut from Bina of Asiya to her place. At that time, the Avir returns to its degree and ascends above the firmament of Asiya. And since the Avir has already equalized with the degree of the prayer, it takes with it the prayer above the firmament of Malchut of Asiya. And when the prayer has already come to the firmament of Asiyah, it meets there the avir of Yesod of Asiyah that fell there. She also meets there the appointee Gzardia, who governs the avir of the east, Tiferet, which includes the Yesod as well, because it includes Nehi. The 12-letter name evokes that appointee and lowers the Malchut from Bina of Asiyah. Sorry, the 12-letter name is evoked by that appointee and lowers the Malchut from Bina of Yesod to its Siyum, conclusion, and then the Avir of Yesod rises to its degree, to the firmament of Yesod. And because it has already equalized with the prayer in the same degree, it takes the prayer as well and raises to it together above the firmament of Yesod.
While we're reading this, it happens in each and every one of us. Do you hear me, Gershon? Even in you, each and every one, try to feel it.
In the firmament, it is likewise in the Avir, in the firmament of Netzach and Hod, and in the Avir and firmament of the Tiferet. And when the prayer rose to the firmament of Tiferet, it meets there the Avir of the north, Bina and Tum of Gvura of Asiyah that fell there, and equalizes with that avir on the same degree. At that time, the appointee Ptachia, who governs the north, evokes the 12-letter name and lowers Malchut from Bina to her place, and the avir rises again to the firmament of Gvura, taking with it the prayer with which it equalized in degree during the fall. And when the prayer is in the firmament of Gvura, it meets there the Avir of the south, Bina and Tum of Chesed of Asiyah, which fell into there, and clings to that Avir. At that time, the appointee Psagnia, who rules the Avir of the south, Chesed of Asiyah, evokes the 12-letter name and lowers Malchut from Bina of Chesed of Asiyah to her place, and the Avir of the south returns and rises to its degree to the sixth firmament, Chesed of Asiyah, which is called south. And when the prayer is in the sixth firmament, it meets there the Avir that fell from the seventh firmament, which is Bina, that includes Gar, and clings to that Avir. And when the 12-letter name lowers the Malchut from Bina of the seventh firmament to her place, the Avir returns to its degree, the seventh firmament, taking with it the prayer, which is clung to it from the time of the falling. And when it is the seventh firmament, it meets and clings to the Avir that fell from Malchut of Yetzirah. At that time, Sandalfon, the appointee over the whole of Asiyah, takes it and evokes the 12-letter name, lowering Malchut from Malchut of Yetzirah to its place. Then the Avir rises and returns to its place, the firmament of Malchut of Yetzirah, taking the prayer with it and raising it to the firmament of Malchut of Yetzirah. It is likewise in all seven palaces of Yetzirah and of Briah up to Atzilut.
Meaning, he gives the example how in the Olam of Asiyah, it rises through the seven firmaments, Zat the Asiyah, and after Zat the Asiyah, it rises to a higher world, which is Olam HaYetzirah. There it also undergoes seven firmaments. The actions are the same. Certainly the difference is in our emotions. It's truly, I don't know, it's just as, oh no, what's the difference between all matters? The number of electrons or protons in the atom? A little more, a little less. That's it. But look what emerges out of that. It all comes from stem cells. Something very basic, but later on you add to it power, and the power is qualitative. It's the same here. The actions are the actions of Malchut and Bina. Malchut overcomes Bina, Bina overcomes Malchut. Malchut uses Bina or serves Bina, Bina serves Malchut. And in such a way, this is the connection. But, and this is what I recommend not to forget, the connection between Bina and Malchut is through the connection. The Bina is the force of bestowal. It cannot feel, a single egoist cannot feel it. Only if there is the inclination to connection, to chesed. Chesed can only go to others. Do I have mercy towards myself? No. That's good, Niv, right? But no, it cannot be. There must be one more at least. Towards him you operate your chesed, and then to the extent that you operate this chesed towards someone, to this extent you may be connected to chesed, which is bina. Chafetz chesed, delighted in mercy. Therefore, we understand that the connection between malchut and bina begins with connection, and the most beneficial, the best connection is if we do it in a group, so each person will help his friend, we do it mutually, and so forth. Therefore, our whole work is in the connection between us in order to adapt ourselves to the actions of Bina, that we, as the parts of Malchut, unite. The moment we reach the force of connection which exists in Bina, the first measure, the smallest measure, means we have reached Yesod of our state, which is a little above Malchut. And then we are in a state of some correlation to Bina. And thus we advance. All right. Well, Gershon, yes?
What does it mean to activate chesed towards someone? Can you give an example?
I don't know what to tell you. Ask each and every person. What does it mean to be in the quality of chesed? Not chassid. I'm not talking about that. These people don't understand. It's very difficult to distinguish. And also, there are also, when, compared to all other streams in Yadut, Hasidut also teaches a person how to treat another. With all the customs, all the first Kabbalists, the Admorim, the students of Bar Shem Tov and Magid Mazarich.
We said that Buna can dwell not in a single egoism, but in the feeling of chesed towards someone. So,
because then your quality is not pure egoism. It's something with altruism, with giving. Chesed is giving.
I understand. I'm asking, where does it come from suddenly? I'm a pure egoist. How come some situation appears where I can suddenly...
Where does it come to you?
Yeah.
From?
It's as if, how do I exit egoism?
By the shattering of the vessels, sparks emerged all through all the thickness of the will to receive, and they mixed up with it. There was a zivug in the rosh of the spiritual partzuf. there was a zivug to connect Bina and Malchut, and to use Malchut in order to bestow, meaning the forces of Bina. And this action did not occur, because they thought that they have enough, sufficient light. And the light was not strong enough to implement the action that Malchut will be below Bina and help in every way the actions of Bina. Why wasn't the light sufficient for that? That was on purpose. In order for us to begin to connect to the source of light, the Creator, and to demand its participants, and that we will understand him and know him. Because this is the purpose. And all the rest are the means. The shattering is given to us and all kinds of work through which we can reach the giver of the work, and not to reach him, rather be like him, to learn the profession, to stand upon the whole creation, to understand it. Where does it come from? From the shattering. By the fact that there wasn't sufficient force of the, we call it the force of the Masach. When Malchut and Bina mixed to govern the Malchut, it turns out that it's not that Bina governs Malchut as they thought before the shattering. Rather, Malchut governs Bina. Pao is, this is the general name of this Malchut, the egoistic Malchut. Malchut governs over Bina. What does it mean, the egoistic Malchut? What is this whole matter of the ego? This Malchut, which mixed up with Bina, that he wanted to use it in order to bestow, intention comes from Bina in order to bestow, and the desire comes from Malchut, the will to receive in order to bestow. This is what he wanted to do in order to give contentment to the Creator, to the host. It turned out the opposite. Instead of Bina governing Malchut, meaning under the intention of bestowal, Malchut will be. Instead of that, Malchut governs Bina. What does it mean? My desire to receive uses the intention in order to bestow, to fill himself. Do you understand this? Not so much. Even though you're using it all the time. You come to Benzi and you're asking for something. You're smiling, you're making some face to him, and he does what you requested. Why should he do that? What's the connection between you two? What connection do you have? You are a desire to receive and he's a desire to receive. The connection is that you have Bina between you, and it ties up the wills to receive, but each one is how to use the other. And in such a way, this is called go and find provision from each other. Without Bina, without the force of bestowal, in an opposite manner, the world would not be able to exist. Therefore, the will to receive must have as much force of Bina as possible. He wants the power of the Creator to be in it, that they will be able to use, exploit the connection with others. What does it mean that the world is advancing? The power of Bina is revealed more and more, and then it uses the power of Bina in order to receive, in order to bestow. As a result of that, people become more complex, more smart, more, how should I say it, more cunning, and then they advance the technology connection. This is the advancement. Where does it come from? This is because the force of Bina increases. If the force of Bina were not in the will to receive, it wouldn't advance, wouldn't progress. Be just as water in the soil. If water were not in the soil, plants would never emerge, and then animals, and then humans. Do you see? So it turns out that this participants between Bina and Malchut is essential for the existence of reality. Therefore, we say each he who is greater than his friend is desires greater. The more you have Bina, you have more Malchut. The more you have Malchut, you have more Bina. And this is how we walk on these two legs, Bina and Malchut, in corporeality as in spirituality. Nature is the same. Only the use of it depends on us. Therefore, when we speak of advancement must be understood to us that it is precisely by Bina. The will to receive, you have a lot of it. Rather, the force of Bina, which ties you up to the light, this is what is lacking. And then we come to a state which is like in our world. Nothing is lacking except for the connection to Bina. And then we draw the light which fills up the vessels. The light elevates the kli according to the equivalence of form. What we are lacking right now is the power of Bina, force of connection. Around this point, the force of Bina, everything exists. And then try to depict it yourself. You have a higher sphere, superior, where the system of the worlds are connected, the power of Bina and Malchut are connected and corrected, but this system of the world influences and bestows upon you only according to what you are able inside, in the neshamot, in the souls, to connect among themselves, that the force of Malchut and Bina will be balanced and advance together. This is the whole guidance and provision, whole existence. You see all these words of the angels, the Patsufim, the Sefirot. All in all, these are very simple elements. Desire to receive, desire to bestow, and the connection between them. Nothing else. Yes.
So to activate chesed, mercy, towards someone, you explain that it exists. When I come to Bensi, we already have Bina and Malchut between us, and I want to connect with him.
No, but you are going to give chesed to him, seemingly the quality of Bina, but in an opposite way. You're doing it for your own ego, for the Malchut.
Yes, that I get. Well, but can I by myself, or all I have to do here is invite some action? Maybe I should just bring the Creator into it, invite the action of the light that would invert that connection into something else. What else can I do?
When do you need the Creator?
There is a spark there already. When I turn to Bensi or somebody else, there is as if a spark of Bina, that the thing is there already, right?
Certainly. Without that, you would never have any ability to participate with him or to use him.
We connect between us, not instinctively like animals, even though that exists as well. Rather, if we want to reach a higher state, we build a group between us. In the group, when we are already there, let's begin there, not in the earlier forms, leave those alone. In the group, you have the possibility to use the forces of the group either for your own benefit or for the benefit of the group. and through it to the Creator. So you use Bina always, also in our world, in a family, everywhere, wherever you connect, wherever there is a connection between two parts of the will to receive, even two particles. If there is some connection between them, that connection comes from Bina. The particles themselves are Malchut, it's the matter. But, well, it depends on what state Bina is in, the Bina that connects the two parts of the matter. Is it just Bina or a broken Bina? Who does it depend on? It depends on the user. It depends on the user. I, to begin with, receive a form of Bina which is broken, because all of us are a result from the shattering of the vessels. What does it say? I created the evil inclination, I created Torah as a spice. I created the inclination, then I understand the inclination is a desire, matter, the will to enjoy. Why is it bad? Because I want to use others against, you know, for their detriment and for my benefit, as if later you find out it's actually the other way around. The more I use them and I enjoy it, it's actually to my detriment. So it says that I've created the evil inclination, meaning the will to receive, with the intention to bestow. The intention comes from Bina. There's no such thing as intention in the will to receive. The will to receive, it is, you see, it is matter. That's the will to receive. It doesn't understand anything. Opens up its mouth, that's it. Now, the intentions, you can see it in babies. Only action. The intention is clear for itself, and that's it, whatever the body tells it. Now, the intention of in order to bestow, that is already a correction. It is how will I exploit the others? Or the intention in order to receive. How will I exploit the others? So it is revealed only on the condition that you come to a group and you want to use the friends in a particular way. And not just ordinary people on the street. Where there is an inclination towards connection, use Bina for connection. Against that, you start discovering the inclination to use them in the opposite manner. I don't want connection, I want to take advantage of the connection, if at all. I want to exploit the connection. So, look at what degree of our participation we're talking about. I come to a group and I begin to connect with them. I begin to work in greater and greater unity, and all the forces that obstruct me from connecting, I start sorting them out. Among them are the forces of the still, vegetative, animated speaking. And then in these forces, I start seeing myself, how much they can help me, aid me, or obstruct me from connecting. Then I reach a state where I'm unable to do anything unless I receive the Bina in me will be corrected, it will be more powerful, it will rule my will to receive, and not that the will to receive in me will govern Bina. I don't want to constantly see the others. In truth, really, I won't even see them, I won't look at them, I won't even see them as though there's nobody next to me. There are just all kinds of still elements walking around here. When I start seeing them, meaning them taking them into account, it means that the force of Bina is already developing in me. How can I exploit them? So when I discover that I want to take advantage of each and every one for my own benefit, here it is my work that I have to reach a state where it pains me, and I start asking to invert my attitude towards the friends. The attitude of exploiting, taking advantage of the friends is called the evil inclination. Other than that, nothing. And there are degrees in that. It has to be like in the state of Mount Sinai. when you're standing around a mountain of hatred, repulsion, exploiting the others in every way. And if that's how it is with your entire group, with your friends, and you know that there's nothing to do about it, and Moses, Moshe, the common force that you managed to put together, it disappears in some mountain of that huge ego, and you have no solution but an inclination that there is no choice, either we do it here and now or this will be our burial place. And then you receive the key, meaning how to reach the reforming light. That's it. So that's the state that we have to reach. Let's continue.
We're in This Explains the Question. This explains the question, how can a prayer rise from the bottom of Asiya to Atzilut, if no degree can rise above its level? It is so, because since it clung to the first Avir, which fell from Malchut d'Asiya to this world, that Avir carries it to the firmament of the Malchut, and the Avir of Yesod of Asiya to the firmament of Yesod, etc. Thus, the airs, plural of air, avir, to which the prayer rose and clung, carried it and raised it to Malchut of Atzilut, as it is written, and the Spirit of the Lord will carry you. 132. To the south, Chesed, there is an appointee, Psagnia, who governs the Avir on that side, and several other appointees and ministers are there with him. The keys of the Avir on that side were given to him, and all who are in trouble pray a prayer to their master out of their plight, out of the shattering of the heart. If the utterance is as it should be, it rises to the Avir on that side, and that appointee accepts it and kisses it. When he kisses it, he starts and says, "The Creator will have mercy on you and will be filled with mercy for you."
I'll add something here. There are many desires in a person. Let's say 613 desires. To correct each and every desire, well, we can do that through a special force called an appointee, called an angel. In each place, it is a different force with a different name, because the name is the kli, the vessel, with its fulfillment. And therefore, there are many forces that rise from the vessels, that take care of the vessels, meaning that we are in a state where, as if there are many different kinds of creator. Because this desire I correct with that special force, another desire I correct also with another special force, and that's how it is each and every time. That's why it says that there are many Adonam, many masters, that there are many manners, but that's not enough. When I turn to the special forces, I also intend the single upper force. They are all beneath him. And let's not be confused here, as if there is some ability to activate this particular upper force or that particular upper force. You always have to turn through them to the power station. You don't just turn on a switch. It's not going to help you. Because here we're always connected to the source of the light, connected to us through the entire system. So let's not be confused by the fact that we are praying, as it says, praying to their master and activating those many forces, etc. It is all true because it is a big system. But always the man has to rise to the upper of the upper and onwards all the way to Ensof. Only from there that force comes to it.
133. All the holy appointees and all the ministers that are on that side rise with him. The letters of the holy name Eke fly, meaning the 12-letter name, which are four letters Aleph Hey Yud Hey, to each side, which crown and govern that side of the Avil. They rise on that side of the Avil up to the firmament of the south, Chesed, the sixth firmament, up to the appointee of the firmament that governs the south side, since there is another appointee in the firmament of the south, and his name is Anpiel. 134. To the north, Gvura, there is an appointee, Patria, who governs the Avil, and with him are several appointed ministers who govern the Avil, and all those who pray prayers for enemies who are sorry for them. When the uttering of a prayer rises to the Avil, if he is a righteous, the appointee accepts it and kisses it. 135. At that time, a spirit awakens, coming out of the deep on the north. That spirit calls upon all the airs, and they all take the utterance and raise it up to the firmament of the north, the fifth firmament, kiss it, and start to say, "Your Lord will make your enemy fall before you." After the appointee over the Avil accepts the prayer and kisses it, meaning that it clung to the degree of the Avil and the appointee, the Avil awakens out of the deep in the north. The Siyum, the end that Malchut made in Bina, is called deep, from the word Tohu, void. Through the 12-letter name, Malchut descended from Bina de Gvura of Asiya to her place. And then the Avil that fell into the Dinim of the that deep awakens to rise to the firmament of Gvura, rising with it all the degrees that were clung to it during the fall of the firmament of Gvura because of the equivalence. This is why it was said that the Spirit calls upon all the heirs, meaning all the degrees that were clung to this Avil, who had the level of Avil. They all take that utterance and raise it up to the firmament, meaning all the degrees clung to the Avil of the north that rises to the firmament of the north, taking with them the prayer as well, which was clung to them, and raising it to the fifth firmament.
Questions? None? Well, good. Yes, please.
То, как мы проводим круглые столы вот в аквариуме или вообще с людьми. То есть есть рух с высшей ступени, это правило как бы круглых столов, или дух, который мы приносим к людям, например. А дальше подъем Малхут в Бину, это когда девять там слушают одного,
и происходит переключение.
He's trying to compare the processes from Malchut and Bina and what happened in the aquarium. These nine phases that we should go through. He's asking if the rules of the workshop, something different, if the rules of the workshop can be treated as a replica of this process, if the rules are like the nine people who are listening, who are The nine phases are the people who are listening in the workshop.
I don't know. I don't have such a picture in me. No. I don't think that I can't put things together in that way, because these are much more abstract forces than what, for the time being, we meet between us. Nope. It will come. It is becoming more clarified, but anything else?
You mentioned before to distinguish between the disturbances of still vegetative animate and speaking in my when I try to connect to others. How can you classify this?
I'll tell you. The most important thing in connecting to the friends is to think about the Creator, that this is the force of bestowal, and that I have to try to treat them, relate to them like the Creator does. Imagine to yourself, what is a force of bestowal in relation to them? Don't make such huge efforts about it from morning to evening that you won't be able to hold on to it for more than an hour and then you run away from it. Rather, the main thing here is consistency. Constantly, constantly hold on to yourself in a way, at a level of effort as much as you're capable of, but permanently. Don't get out of it. Don't leave that. That is the main thing in spirituality. Permanence is more important than the intensity of the effort. If the intensity of the effort, you know, later drops, that's worse than if you would have kept on a constant level the whole time. It is better to have 10 grams non-stop than 10 tons for half an hour. That's it. The fixed, constant state. It has to be maintained. So if you're capable of maintaining your intention, your attitude towards the friends, that you want to help them contribute as much as possible on a temperate level, that is what is important, because a habit becomes second nature, and gradually the body becomes accustomed to it, and the wisdom comes, the new discernments, and that way you enter such an action. That way, without pressure, you know, real pressure, but with something that is always there. The right attitude, a permanent, constant attitude. Let's move on to the next part.
Moving on to the next part of the lesson, out of the study of the Ten Sefirot,